You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
If you are that offended by everything in life, this isn't the radio show for you. There's plenty more to choose from because this one will drive you absolutely batty, drive you crazy.
Here's John Kincaid.
This show's going to drive you crazy anyway. Who am I kidding? John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. You want to see your loan options, adjust payments, closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Check out our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, and we appreciate their fine patronage here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Uh-oh. Karen is chiming in. Well, I don't know if it's Karen because it's a man. Anthony. I got a Karen checking in. How could you be going to Las Vegas right now? How could you do that? Why would you be doing that? So I now have a... Why would you now be doing that? I guess those things happen in life, right? You wake up worrying about what somebody else is doing and then you pass on that information. And if I knew your name, if you weren't an egg, I would, you know, be glad to respond. But I don't. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. David Sampson. It's a pretty good hour here. David Sampson from CBS Sports HQ on the return of Major League Baseball. And I know he was highly skeptical of it. He was highly skeptical they'd be able to pull this off. I'm anxious to hear what he thinks now. And Dennis Dodd, one of the best in the country, writing on college football. Highly skeptical of college football returning. And guess what? There's great reason to be skeptical. But we'll talk to Dennis Dodd coming up. I wonder if my positivity will piss off both men. Two of my favorites, but will it piss them off? Anthony, what are the odds that I piss off David Sampson and Dennis Dodd this hour with my positivity? Really, I mean, high?
No, low? I don't think you have to worry about pissing them off.
You don't have to. Hopefully not. We'll find out. We'll find out a little bit later on. I love this one. This story was just so charming to me that I just wanted to make sure that I found some time for it and give it its proper due. The college basketball coaches want the SAT and the ACT to be removed. They want it eliminated for the eligibility of college basketball players. They want it eliminated. No more SAT and ACT. And by the way, if you know anything about the process right now, and maybe it's because of the fact that we are going through it in our house, there are many schools now that are test optional. What that means is it doesn't, you can't just say, I don't care about, like, I don't care about the test. It's if you are an exceptional student, there are many, many schools that now say you can choose to submit your application test optional, where you don't have to give your SAT and ACT score. And if you are good enough and if you are outstanding enough, they will still get you in to the university. But the National Association of Basketball Coaches Thursday proposed that the SAT and the ACT be eliminated overall immediately from NCAA basketball, calling them longstanding forces of institutional racism. The proposal says the SAT and ACT, longstanding forces of institutional racism, and they no longer have a place in intercollegiate athletics or higher education at large. This is an important step towards combating educational inequality in our country. All right. So what was my next step? First of all, I wonder, why would college basketball coaches be worried about the ACT and the SAT and want it eliminated? Well, I think you know as well as I do. They want to win basketball games. They want their next million-dollar shoe contract. Oh, by the way, when I say million-dollar, you mean like millions of dollars in their pocket by delivering their university top athletes and as such. So that's one thing. But the first thing I did was then research minority test scores. It's very simple to do. ACT and SAT. Because I actually find the premise insulting. Maybe I'm wrong. And I give you the disclaimer right off the bat. I am a middle-aged white guy from a middle-class neighborhood in suburban Philadelphia. So I am just going by numbers. I'm just going by the numbers, the data. I find it insulting that, well, you can't, we don't need the SAT and the ACT anymore in college athletics to get a guy in to play basketball because it's a racist test. Okay? So then I looked at SAT and ACT data among minority students, among inner city students in the United States of America, and just various sites, various information. You can pull it up for yourself. And Anthony, what do you think I found? What do you think I found studying the ACT and the SAT in minority communities in the United States? By the way, I have data from like 1990 on.
Better numbers than people would like you to believe?
Yes. How about better numbers? How about better numbers in 1995 than in 1990? How about better numbers in minority communities in 2000 than 1995? How about better numbers in 2010 than 2005? How about better numbers in 2017? Last numbers I found that was it, that the site was good enough. 2017-2018 school year. So the class of 2018. The class of 2018 boasting scores 6-7% better in minority communities than the class of 2000. So I'm just going to say I find the premise insulting. And I know what college basketball coaches are all about. Winning. And the idea, can I get a one and done to come in here? Can I get a guy one and done to come in, get me to the tournament, get me my next shoe deal? Because it's not about the education. So any one of these coaches that's pushing for this, let's eliminate the ACT and the SAT. Here's the bottom line. You're not doing that. You're not pushing for that. For the guy that you think, well, I'm pushing for him to get a four-year degree. No, you're pushing for the ones and dones. You're pushing for guys who couldn't get into the school. If there's that barometer, if it's in there. There are some coaches who we've known over the years. Well, maybe someone else took the SAT, went to another state and took it for them. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest here. That's what this is about. It's about trying to win basketball games. It's trying to win basketball games. That's what this is about. All about it. It's not about the ACT and the SAT. And I find it insulting. It's an insulting premise. Because what we've seen is minority students are doing better and better and better at standardized testing. So why insult them by saying that they can't? Because they most certainly can. And the data is there to show it. It's a simple search. Before writing the story, it's a simple search. They go and go, wow, is it really, are scores plummeting? No, they're not. By the way, scores nationwide up. In every five-year period, up. Interesting. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know Geico offers an extra 15% credit right now for car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you? So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com and you can potentially learn more. We're just minutes away from David Sampson joining us on the return of Major League Baseball. Now, David Sampson was not pulling a Buster Olney. 5% chance. The night baseball was announced coming back, Keith Olbermann. Well, we can talk about baseball coming back. It's never going to happen. But we can talk about it if you want. The negative Nancys. Man! Buster Olney. 5% chance baseball comes back. And a 0% chance that they finish. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Olney. There. You will not have your baseball. I know better. I've got a crystal ball and a medical degree that I got on Facebook, and I know baseball will never come back successfully. Oh, my God. These guys must be losing their minds. They must be losing their minds. Olbermann rocking back and forth, sucking his thumb in the corner, going, they can't come back. Coronavirus can't come back. Coronavirus can't come back. Can't come back. Sounds like a scene out of Rain Man. All right, somebody get Keith his binky and calm him down because he's going to see baseball on Thursday night. But they're still doubling down. Oh, Canada doesn't want the baseball to come in because it's just too dangerous. Just very, very dangerous. I will find the next way to try to scare the hell out of you because I've been wrong on everything else, so I'm going to keep throwing new stuff against the wall to see how much you can be scared. Yes, exactly. By the way, the obsession with A-Rod, the obsession of hatred for A-Rod, it's real. It's real. And if you don't like Alex Rodriguez, if you think Alex Rodriguez is a big phony, that he's a guy who, you know, cheated the game, cheated his peers, did things to cut corners, I absolutely will 100% agree with you. He cheated. He knew he was cheating. He had to be suspended for an entire season. But you got to admit, his story of bounce back is pretty incredible. And now people are all upset that A-Rod is, well, first off, he's trying to buy the Mets. And a buddy of mine in Atlanta, Chris Domino, does sports talk radio here in Atlanta, big baseball fan, big baseball guy. And he's covered the game for a long, long time. He's one of the best voices I've ever heard on it. And Domino said the other day, flat out, he doesn't think Alex Rodriguez should be doing any games this year on the television. And I think I agree with him. I agree with him. Why should Alex Rodriguez be allowed to, like, would Tony Romo, if he was trying to buy a team, be allowed to be a voice on national analyst on TV where he could influence free agents, influence the game, talk about salary caps and everything like that? Shouldn't you be removed if you want to be an owner? Because he won't be able to have the job as an analyst if he's an owner. Why are they letting Alex Rodriguez do any games? No, they're like, well, he won't do any Mets games. If there's any Mets games, he won't do it. He shouldn't be doing any games. What do they say on Tiki and Tierney? What does my man Samter love to play? Are you in or are you out? Are you in or out? A-Rod, you in or you out? You want to be an owner? Want to be a TV guy? Owner? TV guy. Tell me what you want to be. Make a choice. I'll ask David Sampson about that coming up. Rafael in Vermont joins us. Rafael, how are you, brother?
Hey, John, how are you?
What's going on?
Listen, John, I'm going to say about that story you said about the guy, you know, proposed to his wife, to his fiancée at the 50-yard line.
On the 50-yard line.
Everybody knows. I don't know how you missed that story because it's not stage. It's a storyline because there is a meaning behind it. It's just reenacting a song of Toby Keith, How You Like Me Now. Because the 50-yard line means something. That means what he's telling that woman. When you see somebody proposing to that girl at the 50-yard line, the story means that woman was with me during the trial and tribulation when I was a nobody. I talked to her. She used to listen to me. And now
I'd want her. Here's what I don't understand, though, is Trevor Lawrence is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game right now.
No,
I'd take it. Why not get in the red zone?
No,
put her on the 10-yard line.
No, that's not the thing. The thing is, he will never have to tell her how you like me now. She's not the type.
No,
of
I understand that. But wait, you're not addressing what we talked about. It wasn't a surprise engagement. You're not surprised. No woman is surprised being led out to the 50-yard line of an empty football stadium with a cameraman there to take pictures.
Yeah, but it's not surprising. It doesn't have to be surprising. It's just a statement you are making to the world. That woman is special.
Oh, I love that statement. My only issue was stop trying to make it out like it was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. They obviously were dressed for pictures.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's all I said. We agree. All right, buddy. I got to run. There you go, buddy. David Sampson joins us from CBS Sports HQ. And I'll ask him about A-Rod. Why should he work any games this year? And more importantly, how surprising is he that baseball's coming back this week? Hope he wasn't one of the negative Nancys. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Well, first time I lose, I drink whiskey. Second time I lose, I drink gin. Third time I lose, I drink anything, cause I think I'm gonna win. Ooh, Las Vegas, ain't no place for
the show never stops on Twitter. Follow along at John Kincaid.
I don't believe there's anything in David Sampson's contract with CBS Sports HQ, being an insider on the world of Major League Baseball, that forbids him from helping me make money betting on the over-under win totals of Major League Baseball teams. We'll find out if that's the case here on the John Kincaid Show as we welcome David to the show. How are you, David?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Are you, first of all, how surprised are you that we are on the verge of starting the season, because there were many gloom and doom voices? How surprised are you that it's going to be starting?
Well, I couldn't be happier, because I get to shave my beard on Thursday at 7:09 p.m.
I'm glad, by the way.
Baseball.
you're looking a little homeless. I got to tell you, you're looking a little homeless. I'm glad to see you get a chance to take that off.
It's all been for a good cause. Raised $100,000 for charity, and that's been important. But it's I think it's great that sports is back, and I am just hopeful that we get to Thursday first pitch. After that, let the cards fall where they may.
What do you what has surprised you, either positively or negatively, in regards to how they've gotten this thing amped up? Because, I mean, six positive tests is like pretty incredible work, considering the teams are not in a bubble.
Yeah, what's surprising me, actually, I focus more on the field of play. I think that the way spring training part two has happened, where they went right to live batting practice, right to inter-squad games, that's not really normal after an off-season, and this was like an off-season. So I've been positively surprised at the quality of some of the at-bats, some of the pitching that's happened. But I think that when the games start for real, what I'm worried about on the negative side is some of the injuries that could happen. I know Anthony Rendon is day-to-day with an oblique. You had Jacob deGrom with a back. So there's certain things. You know, Freddie Freeman obviously came back and is, I don't know that he'll be ready for opening day. Even if he plays, I just don't think he's game ready. So I think that's some of the negative from this shortened, truncated spring training.
Now, in a normal year, the at least what the talk usually is, that pitching is ahead of hitting early on in the season. I wonder if that's because it's usually colder. The temperatures are colder. Players don't get warmed up as easily. This is a season starting in July. Do you believe pitchers will be ahead of hitters, hitters will be ahead of pitchers, or do you think it's a toss-up?
I still think pitchers will be ahead of hitters, because during the shutdown, you know, it's sort of easier for pitchers to throw bullpens and to keep their arms stretched, loose, and potentially ready. But hitters, they've got to see major league pitching. They need actual at-bats to get their timing, even if it's only 3 weeks. But that comes after an off-season of working out and getting ready. So I worry a little bit more about the hitters and what their ability will be, because all of these inter-squad games, everyone celebrates, let's say, when Aaron Judge or Stanton hit a home run. Keep in mind, of course, as the president of a team watching, that means they're hitting home runs off my number two starter or off my number three starter. So there's a negative to every positive that happens.
David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, joining us. The insight on Major League Baseball's return. And David, if you got, let's say you're running a team again, okay? You're running a team, and somebody, this is your first year, and you haven't hired your manager yet, and you're hiring somebody for a 60-game season in these kind of conditions. You going old school? You going new school?
So I'm going old school, and here's why: because every game becomes like a playoff game. And very often the old school managers manage every game like it's game seven of the World Series. And we would say you shouldn't do that over 162 games. But over 60 games, any, you know, 5 or 6 game losing streak, and you may be out of the race. So without the expanded playoffs, there's really no margin for error, which is why from a betting standpoint, everyone's saying Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, it's way better to take the field because there's such a higher level and statistical probability of variable happening, and I think that's what you'll see this year.
I'm looking forward to it so much to just see how teams react, and also, too, veteran teams have an advantage in this, or do younger teams with younger legs that might be able to bounce back quicker, do they have the advantage?
So I think it's younger teams, and here's why. Older players, they need more spring training than they'll admit to. They always say they're good, they don't need anything, they hate spring training, they don't like sort of the workouts, they just don't enjoy that. But when I'm worried about injuries, that's my number one concern if I'm running a team. And I think younger players also, they're more malleable, meaning that if a game is changed, if a location's changed, if a bunch of players go down because of a positive test or something that happens, just younger players have a tendency to not know where they are. They don't get caught up in a moment. They don't get annoyed. Very often they're not as worried because more of the younger players don't have young kids, so they're not thinking about the logistics. You know, I'm thinking about the Blue Jays right now.
Right.
And it's, you know, the Blue Jays with Guerrero and Bichette and Biggio, they're really a young team. So whether they play in Toronto, whether they play in Buffalo, you know, for them, they just want to play. But if you were worried about what to do with your family because you're now going to be on the road for 60 games instead of 30, it just becomes a lot more outside distractions.
David, I was a little perturbed a bit when I saw the Major League Baseball schedule come out, because when they produced the 60-game schedule, I had already calculated it and said each team could have had 4 road trips and 4 homestands to play 60 games. I didn't understand why they needed to go on the road multiple times. I mean, if you're talking about a team like the Braves, they could have gone to play the Mets on the road for 5 and the Yankees on the road for 2 and knocked out that New York trip 1 week. They could have gone to D.C., played the Nationals for 5, played the Orioles for 2, and knocked out that road trip in 1 week. I don't understand why they're making teams visit cities multiple times if they're so concerned about a pandemic.
Yeah, it was something. Putting a schedule together is hard, but as part of Nothing Personal, that show that I do, that's a podcast, I said that there should be 15-game road trips and 15-game homestands because we want people traveling as little as possible. And for whatever reason, baseball has had the impression that if you're on a plane for fewer hours, that means you're safer. And I just don't agree with that. Being on a plane and the logistics of traveling and in and out of hotels, that's what I'm trying to lessen, not the actual hours in the air. But instead, baseball went with geographical rivalries, but then kept the same 2- and 3-game series on the road. It just made no sense to me. There was time to work it out, and they just chose not to do it that way. It's a true wait to see, John, whether or not that will have an impact at the end of the day. But as a from a logistics standpoint, when you're on a team, 2-game series in a city are a nightmare.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For the players, for the staff. So the fewer, the better. And this year, there are plenty.
All right, Braves over 33.5. Gut
over.
Instinct. Okay.
Over.
You like that one.
I think because we're assuming 60 games, right?
Yeah, 60 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get if it's not 60 games, we'll get our money back.
So 34-26, I think, is not unreasonable.
All right.
I think the Braves are going to win the NL East. I think that the best thing that happened to them is they did not end up signing Puig.
He may still end up signing, right? I mean, he still but you don't know.
I hope the Braves don't go that direction because he's not great in the clubhouse. And I think the Braves are going to be fine. The Ozuna pickup is going to be better for them than they realize. Him on a one-year deal is perfect. And, of course, you've got, to me, the best young players in the game with Acuna and Albies. And then Freddie Freeman's one of my favorite players in baseball on and off the field.
And Pache has everybody sitting on the edge of their seats, too. Whether he'll be a part of this year's team or not. How about Dodgers and Yankees both under 37.5?
Well, whichever way you go with the Dodgers and Yankees, just go the same way.
So if you have the logic there, yes.
Or both under.
I was thinking both under 37.5. I'm just thinking, how many times do you see a team in any stretch win 65% of their games? Anthony was pointing that out earlier. How often do you see a third of the season a team wins 65% of their games? Nationals did it last year, and it was an oddity.
Well, there's always a team who gets really hot over a 60-game stretch, but that's why I'm saying to say two teams are going to do it is probably unlikely. Listen, the Dodgers have great depth, and depth is going to matter in a sprint season like this. The Yankees right now seem healthy, but you look at them and everybody is just an injury away. And I'm not sure I'm more worried about COVID as I am about injuries that are going to happen from obliques to elbow soreness to shoulder soreness for pitchers. So I think the team that can stay the healthiest is the team that will have the advantage, which is, again, why I like younger teams, which is, again, why I like the Braves so much.
How about Padres at 30.5 over? They got to go 31-29.
Yeah, so I'm not a Padres guy at all, and here's why. I think when you look at their team and you've spent so much money and focused so hard on Machado, you know, Tatis is a absolute superstar in the making, a great player. But my experience with A.J. Preller and the way he puts together teams, I just would always say that they are going to underperform their expectations. They're going to perform to my expectations because I have them below 500 all the time. So I think the under on that is good.
Thank you very much for the insights. I appreciate that. David, moisturize after you shave. Because you have a beard that long, you don't want to break out. So make sure, just moisturize. Make sure you're using a deep cleanser like Neutrogena. You'll be great. You'll look beautiful again.
Without you, I'd be nowhere, John.
Thank you, David. Nobody ever says that. So thank you very much. Appreciate it, buddy. David Sampson.
Have a great day.
In Las Vegas. You can sit in the sun and camp. I get my color from a sunray lamp when I'm in Las Vegas.
Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Next time I come,
Las Vegas.
My wife, I'll do that.
Can feel it. Can feel it in my bones. Especially all these win total bets. I don't know about college football, though, because of the win totals, because I don't know how many games will be played, and now all those numbers are off the board. So we lean on Dennis Dodd, one of the best writers in the country, CBS Sports, who I have always enjoyed his stuff. Dennis, I've found myself taking a little issue with you, though, lately. Is that going to, like, hurt our friendship at all?
No, not at all. I've been called Debbie Downer for months. Go ahead.
I'm surprised. I gotta say that I am surprised a bit at the drumbeat of negative opinion. Is that unfair of me to have that feeling? Or I don't know. I don't even know if that's a phrase question, but you just answer it any way you want to.
I think it's fair in just to be optimistic. I and others just happen to think the story right now is how and when and why, frankly, college football is going to play and not who's going to get the Georgia starting quarterback job. I mean, I leapt for joy when the preseason magazines came out. You know, they made that decision. In whatever place they do that, that this is worth doing. We think we're going to have a season. Great. And I think in some way we are, But I don't think I don't know if we'll complete it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it just takes one out. I think that's very like. There's nothing I can debate with you on that about whether that's logical. That's very logical. I mean, right now, if you ask me, do you think a season can be completed? Do you think a teams can play? I absolutely agree with you. The only thing I would say is this: is that I'm surprised because people are turning to Dennis Dodd or turning to you to like they you are a must read for me because I want to believe there's going to be a season and hear about it. I don't want to be inundated with, okay, you can, they're talking about having a season, but don't do it. Like, don't even dream about it because it's not going to happen. That, but like, that drags everybody down is what I'm thinking.
Well, I hate to use this word, but some of this is just the science. You know, this is the only major sport where the participants don't get to dictate their working conditions. And you just heard David talk about baseball and all those road trips. You know, same thing here, except the players haven't had a say in it. You know, I was really discouraged last week when the NCAA announced the testing protocols, and once a week, 72 hours before a game, how many times can they get out and either get infected, spread it to somebody else, a 60-year-old coach, or get it themselves? Look, I don't sit here and say I know the answer to that. I just was bewildered. You know, I don't know how you get around that.
I didn't. To me, it seemed strange. The testing plan, to me, seemed a bit inadequate. Is that a fair word? But the only thing I would say, the only thing I would say to the 65-year-old coach or whatever it is that if they feel personal risk, they shouldn't be coaching. That's true. Sitting it out. They should be, because my mom's 91 in Philadelphia, and I've been told I can't even go visit her. I can't go on a plane and go visit my mom. And my mom has had to stay in for months and shelter in place because she's vulnerable. And so to me, if a 60, like I've heard this about the coaches, one of these kids could invade. If a coach is vulnerable, then they shouldn't be coaching. That should be a personal responsibility issue, right?
And that's right. And they look, we know, you know, they want to get out and coach and do what they do, and they earn millions of dollars and,
sure,
and all that. Their desire. And there are steps being taken, suggested, to mitigate that. You know, mask at all times. I heard even one person say, have them in a towel on the sideline, a la Bear Bryant, during games, so they're not around. So it's, yeah, there's a certain amount of risk. There's a huge risk. And anything you do in this space, baseball, football, basketball, whatever. If they're worried about getting it, don't coach. But we know that's probably not an acceptable answer either for those people.
Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports joining us as we talk about college football. I can't wait to talk with real games with you again at some point.
Me too.
And I know you do too. Let me ask you this, though. Where are the follow-up stories on all the players who tested positive? Clemson, Texas, LSU, otherwise. Where are all the stories on the fact that, I mean, at least people I'm talking to, I'm hearing that majority asymptomatic and almost all of them back in about their business. Why don't those stories get that?
I think we'd love to do them, John. That information isn't available.
But the thing is, though, the only thing is, though, is the story of the positive test is. But the follow up to is, how come have any players hospitalized, any players in danger, any players, like, what are we hearing here? Are we hearing of any players opt out? I personally believe an 18-year-old should have the opportunity to sign a waiver.
Sure.
To say, yeah, I take on the responsibility of playing college football this year, and if I'm taking on the risk of COVID, is that too simple on my part? Like, is that,
yeah,
is
there's
that a
lot of legalities involved in that. As far as the news about players who didn't test positive, you know, again, we don't know who they are. And frankly, that's been out there. Those schools have done a great job of putting that information out there. I tweeted it right away when Michigan tested all the athletes and staff, 514 people, and had four positives. I put it out there right away on Twitter. Hey, look at this. You know, that's one. Maybe this is working. We don't know. I think that the concept of herd immunity is a little short-sighted from the medical experts I've talked to, because that takes an entire population, not 514 Michigan people. But, you know, maybe they are safer on campus, or maybe, we don't know, that gathering 120 people in one place is probably not the best way to mitigate, you know, a national pandemic. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Now, we've been told, Dennis, to trust the, like in this whole debate, we've been told to trust the science, right? That's mm-hmm. been the talking points. The American Association of Pediatric Medicine came out almost unanimously saying our children need to be back in school, in-person school, and they need to be back in school. But it seems like administrators, sports writers, mayors are totally discounting the science at this point. So who am I to believe? The foremost experts on childhood health? Or am I supposed to believe the local mayor or local media members?
And there are other health experts in California that say they're not going to be in place. I mean, it speaks down to the lack of a central authority from the administration on down. I hate to bring that up, but the NCAA the NCAA as well. You know, Mark Emmert says, well, I don't know if we're going to have a season. We're, you know, I don't. By the way, Mark, you have no say in it. Okay,
exactly.
Those drug guidelines that were put out this week, they're guidelines. They're not enforceable. That the schools can't be penalized for not following them. They're done in good conscience, I think. But it's just the lack of authority in college football is striking. Where one day, the Big Ten says we're going to play conference games only, caught everyone else completely by surprise, and frankly angered some commissioners. And I'm
sure
not saying it's right or wrong. They may all end up doing that, but you could get in a room, you would think, with five commissioners, why don't we do this? Okay, let's announce it in 2 weeks, or plan on announcing it. Instead, we're sitting here, you know, with Clemson, South Carolina going to be played. Well, all these games are going to play. We have to stop after six games. We don't know. And I think at the end of the day, the answer becomes, if you don't know, why are you doing it? You know, I really do. And I'm not saying the season's not going to be played, but if you don't know the answers to those questions, what are you doing?
It's right now, if I was to say to you, do you believe we'll see any games? Would you this morning have a gut instinct to, yes, we will?
Yeah, yes, because of what the Big Ten did, and I think there'll be other conferences as well, you know, they're kind of kicking the can down the road. It's a 14-week schedule this year. They're going to play nine games as it stands right now. That would seemingly be five open Saturdays where you could make up games if they're delayed, if a team can't play, postponed, whatever. The biggest, or one of the biggest drawbacks to this, and Bob Goldsby of the Big 12 has spoken to it several times, the worst thing that can happen is there's a delay in the season. You know, in the middle of the season, you played eight games, and there's a breakout, and nobody can play. Well, that's not going to last a week. You're not going to sit out a week and everybody go back. And you may have to cancel it then. Aside from not playing football at all, that's their biggest fear. But I would say we're going to see some football games this fall. Just don't ask me where, when, why, how conference champions playoff. That's too complicated right now.
Will you, right now, have you thought about, would you travel to cover a game if you had the opportunity to do so?
I've thought about it. My wife is compromised. So I can't get it because she can't get it. You know what I mean?
Have to prepare for that, right?
Right, right. She's one of those that is compromised because of certain things. So I can't get it. I mean, I just simply can't get it because I would put her at tremendous risk. So,
and I don't think it keeps you from, having your strong opinions and having your two eyes. You could, for 1 year, you could watch on TV.
No, it wouldn't be ideal. I mean, you see ESPN doing those games remotely. And I think that will become, I think that in particular, maybe may become the norm because of budgetary issues. I hope we don't, you know, covering college football, that's almost 100% of the experience being there and seeing everything. So, yeah.
I brought that up. Dennis, I brought that up a couple weeks ago when you're seeing Major League Baseball teams now go and have a, you know, like they're having their announcers do the games from their home stadium mm-hmm. by watching a TV monitor. If these radio stations, television stations, TV networks figure out they can save $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year doing that, even if it's not much more than that, I have a feeling we may see this be the norm going forward.
I think so. I mean, it struck me a couple of years ago when the Cal-Hawaii game from Australia was done from Bristol. And I don't know if they spoke about it in advance, but you kind of knew. And I'm saying that as a negative. They pulled it off.
Right.
But I think because of health and budgetary issues, it'll eventually be budgetary issues. I think that could be the case.
Why can't more people that disagree on issues have conversations like we just had? Honestly, in 2020, well, they're so rare. They're so rare.
No, John, because they're discussions. They're not Twitter screeds or, you know, DMs or
exactly.
emails.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
it's not voice to voice.
Yeah. Right. All right. Right.
And last pick. Should I put some money on your St. Louis Blues? I'm going to Vegas. Should I put some money on your St. Louis Blues to win the Cup again?
Well, defending champs now in July of 2020, still reigning champs.
Exactly.
I would say yes. Their best player is back, Vladimir
yes.
Tarasenko, from a shoulder. I'd like him. Put a couple shekels down. Yeah.
All right, that's what I might do. Dennis, thanks for your time, man. Always appreciate it.
Hi, John. Thank you.
Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports joining us here on the John Cicaccio. Big Blues fan. He was so happy. He was like I was when the Eagles won. He was that way when the St. Louis Blues won. I love that. See? People can disagree pretty much completely on an issue and still have a civil conversation and a give and take of ideas. So I like it. So, sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. More of that would be welcome in 2020. We certainly don't have enough of it. I'll have plenty of time to get your calls in during the last hour of the show so you can join in these conversations, which will be great. We're going to have a funeral for all the negative messaging of the last few months. And let's be honest, the 5%ers, they're not going down without a fight. Who are they? Final hour of the John Cicaccio Show requires you to come back right here on CBS Sports Radio.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.